You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome to the Gastroenteritis Blues. My name is Steve Lippman. I'm here with Dan Volpone and Emily Anderson. Hello. How's everyone doing? Emily, what's up?
I'm doing good. It's ready for the Eagles to play in a little bit. Right. By the time people hear this, they'll probably have lost. So, yeah. But right now, I'm still full of hope and optimism.
Dan, how do you feel?
Congrats to Joe Burrow on his first career win.
Yeah, the Eagles have been terrible this season so far. And speaking of terrible, we're here to talk about the Sixers. It's funny, we have a show sheet where we write down things during the week that we want to talk about on this. And nothing has happened at all. But there's so much bullshit to talk about. And it really is jarring that I'm looking at this and there's all this stuff to talk about, which includes a wild story that people might not have known. This is a teaser. About a chair impaling a person on a balcony, which is awful. But what a wild week in Sixers. The first thing to get out of the way, Billy Donovan, who is a head coach candidate for the Sixers, signed with Chicago, which is weird to me because I thought he left OKC because of the rebuild that they were going to do. And he went to Chicago, and they are in like a worse spot than OKC. So I'm not really sure. Dan, what do you think about do you care at all that Billy Donovan is not the Sixers coach, and what do you think?
I'm glad he's not because of the options who are left, I'm much more interested in Lou or D'Antoni, and they seem to be like the big three. So it's surprising that the Sixers didn't end up with the person I didn't want. Mm-hmm. But I'll take it. I'll take what I can get. Elton Brand, given more control, seems to be just – leaking everything, but doing excellent.
Emily, what do you think about Billy Donovan?
Same with the whole situation of him going to Chicago when they're terrible, when he wanted to like not coach a terrible team is weird, but good for him. Enjoy Chicago. I hear it's a great city.
Yeah, he seems a little too Brett adjacent for me. Like it seems like if you're going to get rid of Brett, get somebody more of the, bless you, Dan, more of the, sort of a Lou or D'Antoni thing I'd much prefer. But there's always a chance for like a dark horse Jim Lynam candidate that we have to stay vigilant because it could happen any day.
Constant vigilance.
Friend of the podcast, Keith Pompey, has done a lot of reporting this week. Keith, we're waiting to hear back as to whether or not he's going to be a guest on the podcast. I can say not looking great, but we'll see. Keith Pompey reported this week that Elton Brand, I wish we had a laugh track, met with the team's ownership on Monday to discuss a new contract, according to multiple sources. Sources added that Brand was expecting a 3 or 4 year deal. Interesting. So what we've talked about in recent weeks is like, man, Elton Brand got a promotion out of this year. And now it seems like he might be getting extended. Emily, how excited are you?
I just really want – this is not shots at Elton Brand. Like, we've said a million times. Like, we think he's a great, smart guy. But I just want, like, Elton Brand-level confidence.
It's wild,
like,
right?
I have not done anything good. I got a promotion. And now I think I deserve 4 more years of this that I've done nothing good, but I deserve, I want that level of confidence, and I support that level of confidence, but I don't really want that in my front office.
I do like it as a joke. I think it's a funny joke for him to be like, the most positive thing you could say about me is that I wasn't in charge, and I was just talking, like, there's nothing you can say where it was like, way to go, Elton. But I do think it's a funny bit. Dan, what do you think about Elton and his possible extension?
I think it just shows, like, he's, like, is he even, like, doing anything with basketball operations? Like a glorified PR guy. He's like, right. I took all your shit the past 2 years, so you should actually, like, extend me and pay me more for that, because I've taken responsibility for everything you messed up.
Exactly. So that, I mean, and he has some, Pompey also said that the Sixers want to make a run at Daryl Morey. They keep bringing up Morey as, like, a guy the Sixers want, and even in Pompey's article, he wrote that even though Tillman Fertitta had said that Morey's job was safe, people in the league think it's a chance that he's not. I know that Fertitta is like a penny pincher and is like not trying to spend a lot of money and all that kind of stuff. And we'll talk more about him later. But I don't know if Daryl Morey is a real candidate in any way. It seems like he would only come here if he could control everything, and who knows if that's going to happen. Another quote from Pompey's sources is that it's hard to tell who is in charge due to ownership's earlier than expected involvement. That's great to hear. Dan, do you have anything on that other than what we always say?
Yeah, it just sounds like we're doing all the same stuff, but no, I can't see Morey being an option, because I think Kyle Newbeck reported this week, I think it was Kyle, that they're mostly just going to be hiring under Elton. And they're right. Not going to hire anyone above him. And why would Morey be interested in that? No, I don't think he would.
Yeah.
He'd get a real job.
Right. Emily, what do you think?
Yeah, and I also, I'm not sure, because as we know, like, no one understands how this front office works or like why they do what they do. So I'm just speculating here. But if like the sources are saying it's hard to tell who's in charge because ownership has more involvement earlier than expected, would that not once again mean that they aren't like feeling confident in whatever Elton Brand is leading, so they have to get involved, but then they're going to extend him? I don't understand what is happening.
I don't either. I guess, yeah.
Is that the read you guys get, or am I reading that wrong?
What do you think?
I mean, I just think it's impossible to know what's going on. Like,
no
one
knows.
I can't even guess at it.
Yeah.
The one thing I think is interesting, though, is, like, so much has come out. I know, like, Yaron has written about it, about how, like, kind of like the marketing department's, like, running the team and, like, making basketball decisions. And I just think that's incredible, because how do you own a basketball team and not realize that the best way to, like, make more money as a team, have stuff to market, is just by having a team that wins?
Right.
Like, we're going to bring in these crappy players with good stories, and people are going to check out after 10 games. Like, who's that appealing to?
I mean, it's Scott O'Neill is really the person that they're talking about when they say the marketing department. And he hated Hinkie and really campaigned to get him out of there. And the fact that he's still here is sort of mind-boggling. And the fact that, like, Harris and Blitzer are just being puppets for this guy who, like, has no track record of success. And then there's, like, Ned Cohen and Alex Rucker and, like, I was happy they didn't fire Ned Cohen on Rosh Hashanah. I would have felt bad if they did that. It would not be a sweet year. But at this point, I think we can get rid of him. I'm done with it. The next thing from Keith Pompey's report with the Inquirer is that word is leaking out. The Sixers are just full that Brand is pushing hard for the Sixers to hire D'Antoni, and that Joel Embiid gave his blessing. So that a lot of people were saying that if D'Antoni comes in here, it seems like Embiid is out because D'Antoni's never coached somebody like that. I mean, that's the only happy thing I saw from that that report. I would like if Embiid is in on the coach, and especially if the coach is not a like perfect fit for him. Emily, what do you think about that as it relates to Joel?
Yeah, I agree with that. And just because D'Antoni's never, I think we've said this before, like just because he's never coached a player like Joel doesn't mean that he can't.
Right.
Like, and I think it would be dumb as a coach to come into a team and being like, what I want to do with this team is not even try and get rid of their star player, like top 10 player in the league, top five player, whatever you want to say Joe is. Like, that's how we win. Like, it's stupid. So, I mean, I don't think there's any, I think Ben is more likely to, like, if they were to trade one of the two, I feel like it would more likely be Ben's, but I don't want them to do either. But yeah, so it's good that Joe's giving his blessing. I don't think Joe's going anywhere. That's so dumb. That would be so dumb.
What do you think, Dan?
I love the phrasing. Word is leaking out. Like, when is it not?
It's leaking everywhere. There's like, word on the street about the Sixers.
I know everything they're thinking, but I don't know who's thinking what or who's making decisions, but I always know their thoughts.
Right. Exactly.
I love that it's phrased that way because we don't even think about it at this point. Like, it's just like the rumors swirling around that always end up seeming to be right. Like, who they want to draft, it's always right. But it's true. Like, it's a leak and it's still an issue. They're still just like hemorrhaging information to the rest of the league constantly.
Who do you guys think is the source of these leaks? Like, who exactly is benefiting from these leaks? I saw one theory, which was that, like, the Sixers are leaking all of this D'Antoni stuff to get Ty Lue to drop his price. And then, I don't know. I mean, it seems to me like these leaks with the Sixers love D'Antoni and Embiid loves D'Antoni. Also, the other thing actually just from today is that according to multiple sources, this is again Keith, who might come on the podcast, Embiid is happy that he'll face the basket instead of posting up in D'Antoni's proposed five-out system. D'Antoni's plan is to move Tobias Harris back to power forward. The Sixers will also make trades if he's hired, according to reports. The expectation is that he'll have a say in picking players for his freewheeling style of play. I guess to me it reads like a brand or ownership leak trying to get fans excited and like in on the D'Antoni of it all. I don't, you know, there was that leak that Alex Rucker would be out. That also seems like a brand leak, but again, why isn't he out yet? So I don't know exactly where these are coming from, but what do you think about, you know, Embiid? The whole five-out thing is a little strange. What do you think, Emily?
Yeah, it sounds like it's someone who was in the interviews with D'Antoni. Like, it seems like they have, like, his, like, resume filed plan, that PowerPoint that he brought to the meeting. So unless they're just making stuff up, which is also possible because I don't trust any of them.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking about the players he named, and like, maybe I'm overthinking this, but he doesn't mention Ben Simmons, which is kind of weird. He's talking about moving Tobias back to what we kind of have now all agreed is Ben's position. Like, we kind of all agree Ben is best as a four. And so if he's going to move Tobias there and they're talking about there's going to be trades, like, are they considering moving Ben? Like, what's the deal there? I think it's kind of weird to mention two players and one of them is the team's best player and the other one is not the team's other all-star.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. And I thought the same thing. I do think Tobias Harris in the NBA should play four. Like, I do think that in order for him to be successful, like, he should be a power forward. But what becomes of Ben Simmons? And I think a lot of people seeing D'Antoni, it's like, well, D'Antoni would use Ben really well. Like, he would totally utilize him and figure it out. I am curious, like you mentioned, like, there has been no Ben Simmons rumored interest or Ben Simmons blessing for D'Antoni or whatever. So who knows? Maybe it just hasn't come yet and it will. But I do wonder, if Tobias is back at four, then what position is Ben playing? Because obviously nobody will know if he's actually going to shoot until he's on the court shooting. So that's a good thing to bring up. I don't think it's impossible that, like, they have, you know, since they're so in jail with all these contracts, that the dumb front office would think about moving Ben. But I would hope that's not the case. The other thing, one of the other things that came out is KOC, Kevin O'Connor from The Ringer. He tweeted last week that rumblings of Mike D'Antoni going to the Sixers have gotten much louder this past day. Nothing's final. Meanwhile, rumblings and leakings, everything is happening. I'm just intrigued, since his preferred style isn't fit for Philly's roster. It'd be weird Would hiring him be a precursor to changes to modernize the team? MDA does love CP3. And then sort of to piggyback on that, Keith Smith, the guy who broke the Orlando thing, said that he's starting to hear a lot of buzz that the 76ers are letting teams know that they are open to trade talks if they hire Mike D'Antoni to be their next coach. Philadelphia realizes that the current roster with all the bigs isn't built to be a successful D'Antoni team. I pretty much hate all the players except for Ben and Joel. So trade whoever you want. I don't really care. Like, great, we'll have guards on the team. Like, I the only thing I would worry about is if they want to trade Ben or Joel. But in terms of being, like, open for business, I would hope so. They're really poorly built, and especially for the modern era. So I don't know. What do you think, Dan?
I know I keep picking at like some of the certain like phrasing in the quotes, but I love he says that Philadelphia realizes the current roster with all the bigs isn't built to be successful as a D'Antoni team, as if there's like another coach that could make this lineup make any sense.
Right.
Like guys just like Al Horford constantly standing 15 feet from the basket where everyone else needs to be. Joel and Ben posted up at the same time, Tobias missing threes. Like, none of it's good. No one's going to make it good. This is not a Mike D'Antoni specific problem. Like, if that's what it takes for them to get rid of some of these guys, great. Whatever it takes. But it shouldn't be, like, if they end up going with Ty Lue, they should still trade some of these players.
And people are like, well, you shouldn't trade players for like a 69-year-old head coach coming in. But it's like, the players are bad. Get rid of them. Like, what are we doing? Like, this isn't because Mike D'Antoni is going to be the coach for 10 years. It's because the team was bad and they need to get rid of these guys regardless of who the coach is.
Also, who cares how old the coach is? Like, it's not like coaches in the NBA are constantly lasting 20 seasons if they, like,
right.
No one's looking for the next Popovich. You're looking for a guy to get you through the next few years.
Right, right. Emily, what do you think of that?
Yeah, I agree with Dan. The phrasing is so funny. I think these are, Philadelphia realizes, I feel like it's trying to like deflect blame almost. Like, this team could have worked with a different coach, but since we have to bring a new coach in, then the 7-foot-tall roster just doesn't work for him. So that's why we have to trade people. Like, putting it on D'Antoni if they hire him, like, it won't work for him. It would have worked for someone else because it's a well-constructed team. It's just like deflecting.
I know. Like, Mike D'Antoni's here. We got to get rid of Al Horford. Sorry, Larry Brown.
Had a great roster, but now we have D'Antoni and he's ruining it all.
Exactly. Like, the one real piece of data that we have from the season is that, one, Brett was pretty much done being the coach here. And also, like, the players are bad and you need to get better players for 2020 basketball around guys like Embiid and Simmons. So, I don't have any alarms going off about, oh my God, we're going to build the roster around D'Antoni. It's like, sure, he's smart and he knows how to score points. I'm not worried about it. Now, Emily, I think maybe you want to lead the way on this one. There's a report about Michael Rubin, and I have to be sort of delicate about it, but it was from People Magazine. Tell us how you found it and what exactly happened.
Yeah, so I was on People Magazine. I forget what I was actually looking up that I wanted to see about, I don't know, someone being pregnant or something, maybe Jon Snow, Rose Leslie. I think she had a baby, so I was like interested in it. And I saw like something about 76ers owner being sued, and it was just so weird to see the Sixers on People Magazine and not have it be related to like Ben and Kendall or something. Uh-huh. And I was like, oh, what did Josh Harris do now? And I got kind of excited. But it wasn't Josh Harris. It was Michael Rubin. And turns out that a woman in New York City is suing a property company owned by him because a chair that fell from the penthouse apartment of this building that he owns fell off the balcony and hit her in the head, and her head was caved in by it. So it fell 12 stories. It like wasn't secured on the penthouse like balcony, and it fell 12 stories, hit her in the head, and she had a severe traumatic brain injury. The pictures are terrifying.
Yeah.
If you look at this article, her like head is legitimately caved in. She's had 3 brain surgeries. She was like applying to Harvard Med School, and like obviously if you have a traumatic brain injury, it like you have to go to rehab. It like messes with your cognitive level. So yeah, she's suing Michael Rubin's property company. The New York City Department of Buildings fined his company $6,250. They got a citation for like not securing a lounge chair. But I don't, it doesn't say like what she's asking for or anything.
She should get so much. I mean, that's
so much money.
Yeah.
She should get so, like a stake in the team.
Yeah. Make her the owner. Make her the owner.
She could probably do better. It's fine.
Yeah. That's awful. And I hope she's okay. And I hope she sues him for all he has. If people don't know Michael Rubin, he is like, he's a minority owner, and Bede is close with him. And I think he's more of a sort of pal around the players, and, you know, they'll go to concerts together. But he doesn't have much say in like the ongoings of the team. When Josh Harris tried to take away salary from people during the pandemic, he was apparently upset about it in closed doors. Again, he could have solved the problem himself very easily, but so yeah, I don't really give a shit about Michael Rubin, and I hope he loses all his money. For our purposes, it would have been better if the person getting sued would be Josh Harris. I think we should sue Josh Harris just for like
pain and suffering. Heartache.
Yes, pain and suffering. Dan, do you have anything else on this report here?
Just that, like, I feel like everyone involved with the team is like evil in some way.
Right? They're awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we just wish the best for this girl and hope that she gets all of the money that she wants and that she has a full recovery.
Yeah. Best of luck and sell the team.
I need to say something real quick.
Please.
Just got a Bleacher Report notification. Joe Montana stops kidnapping. He and his wife had to wrestle one of their grandchildren away from a home intruder on Saturday. And I would just like to say, I don't think J.J. Redick would have done anything.
No, I don't think so.
No.
No. We know where he comes down on this issue, which is pro-kidnappers.
I still remember listening to that. I listened to it like right when it came out, and I think I put something in the Slack, and I was the first one to listen to it. I'm like, is this real? Like, and then it's not. You can't find it anywhere. They took that down like immediately, and like Mo Bamba had no idea what to say.
Poor
that
Mo
was
Bamba.
The guest on the episode. He was like, what a time!
What a crazy story that he told to Mo Bamba, who just was on there to like talk about being a basketball player.
He's like 19-year-old kid. Like,
I know. I just don't understand how he told that story thinking that there wouldn't be people responding to it, being like, so you just left the car? Like,
yeah.
Why?
He's like 6'6". Like, he's like a big guy.
No, yeah. I mean, he's not a large basketball player in terms of basketball players, but in terms of normal humans, he certainly could have, like, handled the situation in some assertive way. Right.
But not even that. Like, he couldn't have texted his agent and been – because, like, his whole thing was, like, his wife was in the car. He didn't want to, like, put anyone – but, like, text your agent and be like, hey, can you call 911 to meet us here? There's a – like, you have a phone. Like, not – you don't have to call. Like, you have people. We don't need to get into it. It's just –
wow. You know, JJ, best of luck. Come on the pod. We'd love to talk to you. That's all I would want to ask him about, by the way.
Oh, yeah. I don't care about anything else.
I don't give a shit about Duke. I want to know, like, what happened? Is there a way that we can be on your side with this? Most likely game. Emily's judging. Take it away.
Okay. I had some trouble. I made up all of these questions, I think. So none of these are like from a website, so they're probably gonna be weird, but here we go. I get to pick. Steve, you can go first.
Love it.
Okay. Who is most likely to secretly be a wizard?
Secretly be a wizard. Okay. I'm gonna say Ryan Brokaw. Because I'm not sure that he plays basketball. I've never seen it. And this could be what that guy is known for. I don't know. I haven't Googled him myself. And you look at him in this picture of him, and he looks like a Harry Pottery guy, although he's probably too tall. So I think that I'll go with Brokaw.
All right. I'm going to go with Mariel Shayok. Mm. And I think he has wizardy eyes. I don't know why or what that means, but he has like this look in his eyes that I feel like he could do some magic.
All right. As much as I love Ryan Brokoff to always be the right answer, I'm going to give this one to Dan. I like the idea of wizardy eyes, but they're, you can't quite describe what makes them wizardy. That makes me think that it's really strong wizard vibes.
I will say I'm looking at him now and I think I agree. He does have wizardy eyes.
So we'll go Shayok and we'll give it to Dan. Okay. Next question. In line with our previous JJ conversation, which Sixer is most likely to start a podcast?
Oh.
Do none of them have one?
No, not that I know of.
Okay.
No, I don't think so.
I feel like that's something we would know.
That's true.
You would hope so.
All right. I feel like the answer, I feel like Matisse is like a cop-out answer because he's already doing like social stuff. So I'm going to pick someone else and I'll go with Joelle. I don't really want to. I think he doesn't like doing like going out, but I think he would like maybe after he retires even, like he's going to have a lot of demand because he's like a funny guy and, you know, so Spotify's like $10 billion podcast empire is going to pay Joelle a few million a year to like record a podcast. And he has some friends around the league. People will come on. I think he could start a podcast.
I'm going to go with Kylo Quinn. I think he's close to the end of his playing career and clearly somebody who likes to talk and likes to be personable. So I would think that pretty shortly, actually, he would be like on the Ringer podcast network with one of those guys over there. So I'll say Kylo Quinn. Dan, do you have any more water or is that enough? Is that good? Dan is drinking out of like a keg size of a gallon of water right now.
Yeah, before class started, I was trying to drink a gallon a day. I got it done a few days. But the thing is, in class, I can't do it because I have to sit there and watch the lectures. But if I have to get up and pee every 5 minutes, it's just terrible.
I was going to say, you must be peeing constantly.
When I drink the gallon, I'm taking, like, I'll weigh myself before and after, and I'll lose, like, over 2 pounds just by peeing.
All right, great. Well, keep us posted on that, please.
I will.
That's awful. I hate water, and that just, like, grosses me out almost.
I love water.
Ugh. I don't know. I am not a fan. Prefer to be in a constant state of dehydration. Okay. So I'm going to give that one to Steve with Kylo Quinn. Put him on the Ringer with Vince Carter.
And oh, yeah, right.
They can pair up. I think Joe doesn't like the spotlight that much. And yes. I don't know that he's good at being interviewed, but I don't know that he would be a good interviewer.
Right.
So I'm going to give that one to Steve.
Great. All right.
Yep. Who is the most likely to have a candy bar in their pocket at all times?
Oh, I think that is going to be Mike Scott.
Ooh.
I think that he likes sweets. I think that he's a wacky fella. And I think that it's like it's halftime and Mike Scott's like eating a payday. And they're like, Mike, trying to talk here. And he's like, sorry. Sorry. I'll go with Mike Scott.
All right.
I'm gonna view this as who is most likely to need to have a candy bar at all times for some kind of medical emergency that may
like a blood sugar thing. Interesting.
Zaire Smith. If someone's gonna have a blood sugar issue, it's gonna be Zaire Smith. So I think he's gonna be the guy with the candy bar.
Wow, that's what I thought of first.
All right. That one I've gotta get to Dan.
Yeah.
There's a few things that always win, and bringing up Zaire Smith having some type of medical emergency is one of them.
I know. Yeah.
And if you can twist any question to include that, then you just get the point. So.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries, not including...
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
All right, so it's 2-1, Dan.
Yeah.
Gonna bring another Philly sport into this. I don't know if how big of Phillies fans you guys are, but I think that it's generally known around the Philadelphia area that the Phillies need to sign JT Realmuto, and they are not doing it. So who from the Sixers is most likely to personally finance JT's contract so he can stay in Philadelphia?
Interesting. I am a big Phillies fan. They have their last game today and they need two teams to lose, but they'll probably lose on their own.
Anyways,
won't be a big deal. I would say Ben Simmons likes to do a lot of cross sport stuff on his social media. He'll do like EAGLES. He'll do some, like, he'll go to some games back when people were going to games. I think that maybe as a show of faith to, like, you know, sort of get the fans to love him even more, I think he might front at least half of the Realmuto contract.
Yeah. You don't actually have to have the money in this situation. It's more about, you know, so you don't have to pick the person who could actually afford it.
Yeah.
I'm going to pretend you didn't say that because I already made up my mind and picked someone with a lot of money.
All right, go for it.
I'm going to take the guy who has not enough goodwill from the fans and too much money.
Oh, no.
Tobias Harris.
Yep.
He's gonna say, listen, this contract isn't so bad because you get JT with it.
Oof. That would be a
baseball
dilemma.
Money, that's nothing compared to NBA money.
Yeah. Dan gets it.
All right. 3-1.
He's really spinning all of our storylines into these questions. I feel like he, like, prepared for it. He was like, what always wins and how can I spin it?
He's got a Google Doc of his own where he's just like, mention Zaire's bad.
It's like a food question, Zaire Smith. Money question, Tobias Harris.
Yeah, like a flow chart at the ready.
Uh-huh. Yeah. All right. Okay, so Dan could win it here and he gets to go first. So I'm going to say, which Sixer is most likely to bake the best chocolate chip cookies?
Most likely to bake the best chocolate chip cookies. Okay. I'm going to give it to Matisse here. And I think it's because he has a chocolate chip cookie loving vibe to him. and he's creative. So I think he's tried a lot of like recipes, you know, like he might be the only player on the team who has a favorite chocolate chip cookie recipe, you know, because he's a little bit like artsy, likes like doing stuff. I know baking's not really artsy, but I feel like it kind of is. And he's just got that smile that it's like, you know, he loves cookies. So I think he knows what are good and, you know, he makes them.
Quick aside about me, I don't like chocolate. I'm a weirdo. A lot of people like it. There are a few things I like it in, like a Charleston Chew. I love that. We're really gaining a lot of fans.
That is like, such a weird.
It's my favorite candy. Charleston Chews, they're like, it's like, I don't know if it's nougat or some sort of vanilla inside, and they're little, I think they stopped making them in like the 40s, but they're little chocolate guys. I really like
them. Okay.
I'd love to be sponsored by them in any way.
Tweet
all right
at them in the podcast tweet, and I'll stop saying that they're gross, and then maybe we'll get a sponsorship.
There's no way they have social media. The person who runs their account is like an 80-year-old. All right. The person who makes the best chocolate chip cookies is, I will say, Alec Burks. I think that Alec, I mean, he's a dad, so I think that it's important PTA meetings and having – Matisse is out there. He's having fun. He's too young to really know the right recipe. He's probably only seen one recipe. Alec Burks is a man of the world, and he's got a whole family. I think he's had to make chocolate chip cookies on multiple occasions.
All right. I like Dan's, not Dan, sorry. I like Steve's answer. Yeah. That really threw you both for a loop there.
It really did.
It was a real roller coaster of emotions. I think you need to be a dad to make chocolate chip cookies. Dan showing us Charleston Chews and he looks disgusted by them.
They're so good.
I couldn't find their Twitter either. So
you have to go to like an art house movie theater and they have them there.
Or like
okay, I feel like I've seen them there.
Yeah.
That or like an old timey like penny candy store that like has like a soda fountain. They like have them there too.
Yes.
That's not like a
sorry, Emily, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, you're fine. This is important content for everyone. Yeah, I think you need a kid to make chocolate chip cookies. Matisse would just order his cookies from Insomnia, I think. I don't know that he's making them himself.
Yeah.
All right, so it's 3-2, Dan. Before I ask this next question, I want to know if, for the listeners, there's a photo of a really nice-looking dog behind Steve, and I was wondering who that dog is.
So this is I'm at my girlfriend's parents' place upstate New York, and this is their old dog named Albert. That's a Bernese Mountain Dog, and so
that's
I'm
a great
happy
dog name.
She'll be very happy that you asked about it. She doesn't listen, but I'll let her know.
Good boy.
Yeah, that very sweet.
Albert dog. Got a mention on the pod.
Yes, we'll tag him too.
Love it. All right, so it's 3-2, Dan. And the next question is, which Sixer is most likely to win a drinking game?
Okay. A few people I can think that the Sixers have so many people, meanwhile, who like are not going to win this question, like who are completely not right for this question, like Tobias, Al Horford, Matisse, Embiid says he doesn't even drink. Who is most likely to win a drinking competition? Oh, okay. So I think that I have the right answer here, which is Mike Scott. Am I allowed to use him again?
Yeah.
You can do whatever you want.
Okay, but the way you just answered that made it sound like you can do whatever you want, but you just won't get the point.
When I play, I don't repeat, but that's a rule I made for myself, not for you.
All right. Well, I'm going to sort of ignore the passive aggression, and I'm going to say that Mike Scott is the winner of this one because – he, you know, in the middle of a game, he drank that lady's Jack and Coke, or just Jack with ice. He did like the Rights to Ricky Sanchez live, and he was drinking there. I think he's a fun guy. I think that he likes to go out and drink. You know, he had all those things last summer where he was going out with the fans, and he went to a tailgate and beat the shit out of some Eagles fans. He likes to drink. Mike Scott.
Right.
All right, and I'm going to go with Zaire Smith. I know I'm also repeating only because he's the youngest, so I feel like And I think he has nothing else to do. Like, he's just sitting around. He's not playing on the Sixers. I guess he's playing in Delaware, but that's who knows when they're going to even bring the G League back at this point.
Right.
So he's only 21. I'm also 21. So I feel like, you know, as you get older, you drink less. Like, you know, like, he's still college age. Like, he's the only player on the team who would still be in college. I believe that's right, because Matisse was a senior. So he's the only college age player. College age kids drink a lot, so I think he could win the contest.
This would have been a good one for the Brokoff card, honestly. But Emily, go ahead. Who wins?
All right, so I'm going to give that. This is like a. I'm going to give it to Steve with the Mike Scott answer. It's a little unfair because as an old person, I take pride in that I can still play drinking games. So saying that he's young would make him better at drinking games, like, hurts my ego a little bit. So I like to pick someone older who's been playing drinking games a while and has really perfected the technique and the strategy behind all of the best drinking games.
Also, what if they make Natural Light with, like, sesame oil? Zaire'd be fucked. So.
Yeah, he's probably allergic to gluten, so he probably can't drink beer. So he probably has to play with cider, which would make you really full, or liquor, which would get you really drunk too fast.
Steve, you're forgetting that there's only two ingredients in Natural Light, and it's water and pee.
That's true.
Okay, so it's all tied up. Last question.
Game 7.
Yeah, Steve is trying to do that 3-1 comeback. Mm-hmm. And the question is, which Sixer is most likely to bowl a perfect game?
Do they bowl? Oh, wow. Okay. Andrew Bynum. No, I don't know.
I was just thinking that. That's so funny.
All right. I'm going to go with Tobias because he seems like the sweet spot of, like, he's, like, just fun enough that he would go out bowling, but not fun enough that he wouldn't go out bowling. Like, Al Horford, he's not even fun enough to go. Mike Scott, he's doing something, like, way cooler than anything I've ever done. You know, like, he's hanging out with, like, some cool people. And Tobias Harris, he doesn't want to hang out with the cool people. He's got his books, and then, like, when he's not playing basketball, he bowls. And I think that's, like, that's not some side thing he does. Like, that could be just, like, that's his, like, main exercise when he's not playing basketball.
Bowling. All right.
All right. Which Sixer is most likely to bowl a perfect game? All right. I think that the answer is Shake Milton. He's lower to the ground, which helps. He's not short, but he's lower to the ground. He's a very accurate shooter, which I think translates to bowling in some ways, and just to a regular hand-eye athleticism sort of thing. I think that he's very accurate. I think that he's fun, and he would like to go with friends to bowling when we're all allowed. So yeah, I think that he played it growing up, and now he's a really good bowler. So I'm going to say Shake Milton.
All right. I've got to give that one to Dan.
Fuck me.
I just, mostly because I have weird reasons why I pick things. I just like the idea that there's a level where you're, like, a level below not cool enough to go bowling, but also there's, like, another level where you're too cool to go bowling, and right, there's, like, a sweet spot in between. And I just thought that was a really deep philosophical bowling analysis, and I really enjoyed it. So Dan wins.
Wow. Well done. I should have said broke off. I was thinking about it. I was like, don't overdo it. But, well, the rest of this episode is shit now. We had a report from John Clark, who is a Philadelphia reporter, I think, for NBCS Philly. He said, this is last week, I'm hearing one of the reasons, along with coaching, that the Sixers have a lot of interest in Mike D'Antoni is the feeling with some in the organization that he could help lure James Harden to Philadelphia. Harden can become a free agent in 2 years, and there is a possibility of a trade. Emily, what do you think about this report?
On one hand, I am like, let James Harden come to Philadelphia. I would love that. But you can't pick a coach because he might help lure James Harden to Philadelphia. Like, that is the worst reason to pick a coach.
Yeah.
I think it's, first of all, I don't believe that at all. James Harden's not going to come here in free agency. And even if he wanted to, we're not going to have any cap space in 2 years. Unless we somehow trade everyone, we'd have to, it's not going to happen. Even if we managed to get off Tobias and Al, we still wouldn't have the cap space for Harden in 2 years. And I think, like, I would love if we traded for Harden. I mean, I think that's like one actual good reason to trade Ben. Like, we always say don't trade Ben or Joel, but that means like don't purposely go out of your way to trade them. Doesn't mean don't, you know, bring in a better player. I would love to get James Harden. I would definitely give up Ben for him. I don't understand the pushback at all. There are some fans who were like, oh, he's 31, he chokes in the playoffs. Like, that is just terrible thinking. I'm sorry. If you're saying that, you should not be allowed to comment on anything else going forward. Like,
James, anything else.
Anything
no more else. Comments out of that person.
Not even just basketball. Anything else. James Harden is so good. He has a skill set that I guess anyone needs, but we like especially are painfully lacking. And there's no argument to not trade Ben Simmons, who's very good, for Harden, who has come in, I think, the top two in MVP voting, had been three straight years. He won one, and I think was he third this year?
He's like one of the best offensive players of all time. He's like a legitimate all-time great scorer.
And we have all-time bad scorers, so.
See? Little balance is nice.
I'm going to bring the balance to the universe.
I agree with you. I think that I usually say no to Ben trades because they're usually like, well, you got to split them up. They both, and it's like, so not the problem with the team. But if the option was to get James Harden and Joel Embiid on the same team, it would be pretty insane. And I think you have to do it. I agree that it's probably not legitimate and like certainly not a reason that you hire the coach. Is like, he coached this one guy who's really good. Maybe he wants to come. The only thing is that Fertitta is a bad owner, and if he really is like trying to shed like long-term salary and done with the current roster, which was such a creation of Morey and D'Antoni, maybe is there some world where he's interested in that? Then that's the only sort of shred of consideration I would give to it. But you know, if that is based in fact, then all the more reason obviously to hire D'Antoni. But I don't think that you bank on that in any real way. The next thing that we have now, I don't know this person. Let me know if you know this person. Brandon Scoop B. Robinson.
He's always wrong.
He's always wrong. Good. He's I'm glad wrong. He's on the podcast then. Brandon Scoop B. Robinson is a reporter on Twitter, and he said, Kings Sixers talks have gained traction again. Great question is, who is gaining the traction? Who exactly is talking to the Kings front office right now? No way to know. Have heard the Sixers are interested in Buddy Hield, but it is unclear if the Kings have the similar level of devotion to adding Al Horford to their roster. I think that Dan and I talked about this on Twitter, I think last week, that like, I would be so happy to have Buddy Hield on the Sixers. He is like that sort of JJ Redick sort of skill set would be very helpful. I don't want them to make him their only offseason change because I don't think he's good enough or exactly what they need enough, but he would definitely help. Emily, what do you think about this, about Scoopy's report?
I have a lot of questions. One, I want to know if he gave himself the nickname Scoopy.
Yeah, right.
I hope that he did. Mm-hmm. And then I agree with you. I really like Buddy Hield. I've liked him since he like went on that run in the NCAA tournament. He just seems like a delightful person.
Mm-hmm. And he's from the Bahamas, someone, I think, which is fun.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
We just need someone who can shoot. So I'm perfectly happy to have Buddy Hield as a Sixer. I also like the use of the word devotion. It reminds me of when when Woj was like scooping all the picks and changing all of his words, like we can't use interest again. We're going to call it devotion this time.
Right.
So I really enjoyed that. No one has a level of like.
Who's devoted to Al Horford being on
the team? No one is devoted to adding Al Horford to their team. Like we would like someone who shoots and we would like, we have a level of devotion of getting Al Horford off our team. Mm-hmm. Does that count? Yeah. I don't know.
We're devoted to that idea.
Yeah.
Dan, what do you think?
Yeah, I love the idea that it's gaining traction, even though they don't want the main player in the deal. Is gaining traction, but it's unclear if the Kings even want him.
Right.
What does that mean?
Elton keeps calling, the Kings aren't picking up, but it's gaining. He keeps calling.
What is gaining traction?
The Kings hang up right away as soon as he mentions Al, but like this past time, they talked for like a full minute. So Elton leaked that they're gaining traction.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Kings did want Horford last summer. Now they're under new management now, so maybe they have smarter people in there. And obviously Horford just had a pretty terrible season. I actually am confident that they'll get off of him this offseason, but in terms of getting off of him and getting Buddy Hield back without using like the key things you need to use to get a star level player, then I would just be careful about that. And now Dan wrote an article this week about Chris Paul and how the Sixers need to trade for Chris Paul. Dan, do you want to just introduce that article and how you came about with it and all that?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of came to it just because I've thought a lot about a lot of the Sixers fans' fake trades and things they're making this summer. And people are all over kind of like wing guys who can shoot a bit. People want Jrue Holiday, Buddy Hield, Zach LaVine. And I would be very happy to add one of those players next to Chris Paul. But none of them are all-star level players at this point. I know Jrue was an all-star once, and I guess LaVine is, but whatever. I would much rather have Chris Paul, who is still an all-NBA player. People talk about his contract as if, you know, this is some kind of deal breaker. He's making $41 million and $44 with 2 years left. He's on a far better contract than Al Horford or Tobias Harris because he has one fewer year than Al, two fewer years than Tobias, and he's worth it. He was second team All-NBA this year, and people have just kind of called him an albatross because he was hurt and struggled in his last season in Houston, and people gave up on him. But it's time to reevaluate that contract and now recognize that he's being paid what he's worth. There's only 2 years left, and the Sixers would be so lucky to add a player exactly what they need, a guard who can get to the basket, who can shoot from all levels, who can pass, who can defend, who's a leader. He does everything well. He's second-team All-NBA. He finally stayed healthy last season. Even if he doesn't, we get off a bad contract sooner. But if he does, you're turning someone like Tobias Harris or Al Horford into a legitimate all-NBA player at the position you actually need. And they're so lucky they even have the chance to do that, if they have the chance to do that. I mean, so The Athletic had two people get together, Rich Hoffman, who's a Sixers beat writer, and Eric Horn, who's a Thunder beat writer. And they came up with a few fake trades between the two teams that they think would help both teams. And there were two in which the Sixers got Chris Paul without giving up Ben Simmons. One of them was the Sixers get Chris Paul in exchange for Tobias Harris, 21st pick, and the Thunder's top preference of Matisse, Shake, Furkan, and Zaire. The other one was the Sixers get Chris Paul in exchange for Al, Matisse, Zaire, and the Sixers' 2022 first-round pick lottery protected. I would kill to do either of those. I would throw in Josh Richardson just to show how much we're still winning the deal. Give him another pick and another pick. But this is people are saying like they think this might be an overpay. You're going from a guy who's not worth near the money he's getting to an all-NBA player with fewer years left on his deal. You're not at the point where you can just say, oh, we want someone who's around Joel and Ben's age so you can build a dynasty for the next 10 years. You're past that. That's not happening. You're stuck on these contracts. You could turn them into great players. And I think it's such a no-brainer. You still have the assets left over if you want to go get a Buddy Hield after that. I think it's a no-brainer. And if the package is anything like those, the Sixers would be crazy not to do it. I mean, you guys tell me what you think.
Yeah, Emily, what do you think?
Well, I was reading Dan's article. I was getting so, like, I don't know if triggered is the right word, but he just mentioned it. Like, this people are saying, like, to get a younger player and that so they can build a dynasty. And I hate to, like, go back in time, but it just drives me crazy that, like, they had Jimmy Butler, who is that younger player. And he was, like, 29 when he was with the Sixers. And look what he's doing now. And they, like, got rid of him because they didn't have like strong enough leadership to tell him and Ben to figure their shit out.
Right.
And it's so upsetting to me to think about. But in regards to these trades, I agree. Would you either of them, like Dan said, I would prefer if the Thunder's top preference was not Matisse, but I think it would be of those four players. I just love him. He's just such a delight and I want him to stick around. But, yeah. And also I would probably rather give up Tobias because I think we could get rid of Allen, like the Kings and get Buddy Hield. So then that like works out for everyone. But yeah, I would love to have Chris Paul on the team.
I mean, if we could get rid of Tobias in a deal for Chris Paul, it would be just like such an incredible win because like currently who in the world is trading for that contract that Tobias is on? And how do you get off of it unless you get an amnesty? Like, that just seems impossible. So I would definitely do it. It would stink to give up Matisse, not because I think he's, like, incredible by any means, but because it's just, like, another example of the Sixers drafting a guy, him being good, and then they have to give him up to get somebody better because of all the other bad decisions they've made. But that's just sort of the point that they're at. People will complain about Chris Paul's age or that he has like a high cap number, but like the only reason the Sixers are getting a phone call is because of his age. Like if he was 28, the Sixers are getting laughed out of the meeting. Like he's a distressed asset in some way because of his age and his, you know, price tag. But he's certainly worth it. And even if he does regress or even if he does miss some games, like he's so helpful for what this team needs. I think that they don't really have much of an option to like hem and haw over like the protections of a pick or over, you know, Shaker, Matisse, or it's just like, you have to do it. You know, they just have to. We're going to end on a high note here. On Thursday, we all found out that Joel Embiid had a child. I was so happy for him that he posted a picture of him holding his new baby boy, who is Arthur Elijah DePaula Embiid. Arthur, of course, was Joel's brother who passed away at the age of 13 soon after Embiid got drafted. Just an incredible, wonderful piece of news. It's lovely. I'm so happy for him. Nobody had any idea. I would imagine that the team knew and on some level because if the Sixers were a good basketball team, they could potentially still be playing, but they're not. And I'm very happy that he was able to be there. And yeah, it's just great news. I'm so happy for him. What do you guys think, Emily?
Yeah, I agree. I'm also really happy for him. The three of us were like DMing and Twitter when it came out and she was just like, whoa. Like, yeah. I'm just happy for him. Him and his girl. I mean, who knows? Apparently they're really good at keeping secrets. I think it's his girlfriend, his partner. Yeah. They've been together for a while. They have that cute little dog together. And now they have a beautiful little baby boy. So I'm sure it meant a lot to Joe to have a boy, to name him after his brother. And I just wish them all the best. I'm glad that he has, you know, now time to spend with his family. He's not playing. He was able to be there for the birth of his son, it seems. And I just, I wish him all the best.
Yeah, it's great. I'm really happy for him. And, you know, we've talked about, like, Joel kind of seemed like he had a shitty year. They traded his friends or got rid of his friends. They let them walk. So it's nice to see him happy. And he looks very happy. And, you know, he makes us happy. He means a lot to us just in our fandom. So I'm really glad that he has some like a kid now and he's seemed really thrilled about it.
Yeah. The process was such a like shared experience that became so like esoteric and not so much about basketball for so long that like, to see Embiid, who was our guy from when he was like 19, and now he's, you know, a star in the league and he has a child. It's just incredibly cool and it's awesome. So we'd love to get Arthur on the podcast sometime soon. Still waiting to hear back from Keith, but we'll see what happens. I think that's it. I was happy to see you guys. I hope you're all doing well. Good luck to the Eagles. We'll see you next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye, everyone.
See ya.